1 Peter chapter 5 reading, I think was from verse 1 through to 11, was it? Yes, okay. So, to the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud but shows favour to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's almighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm and steadfast. To him be the power for ever and ever. Amen.
Been trying to help a relative of mine who's going through a marriage crisis. Part of the crisis is he can't get help in his local congregation because the majority of the leaders are going through broken relationships. Very sad. Contrast this with healthy elders, someone who I'm much closer to actually. His wife left him. Very like examples to the flock. That's the nature of true knowledge. And going back to another place in 1 Peter 2:25, Peter says, "You were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Christ is the chief shepherd, but also the chief overseer, and the highest element of eldership is to reveal Jesus." Jesus is the pattern of all shepherding. Now, going to more widely the New Testament, I'm going to go through it chronologically. And I hope it's a Christ-centered approach. Now, I'll get back to the chronology in a minute, but it's important sometimes we read the Bible backwards. Please teach my students this. It's important to read the Bible backwards. So we will start with the book of Revelation, then we'll go to Acts and the letters. In the book of Revelation, we read of 24 elders around the throne room of God, and they're leading the creation. That's the whole creation, angelic and human, in prayer and praise, which means the 24 elders are your first elders under Jesus. They're the first people who are closest to Jesus. They actually will be leading this church, whether we see that or not. It's true in the spiritual realm. They're the ones closest to the Lamb of God. And this understanding of eldership in heaven shows us that in the eternal plan of God, he was always going to govern the world through elders of some sort. Now, if we go back into the Old Testament, there's a group of people in the Psalms and Job and other places who are the council of God. They share in God's decisions made in heaven, and they're joined in the Old Testament by one other group. In the Old Testament, that group who's inside of the council of God, God's ruling government in heaven, are the prophets. And I've got lots of scriptures to that effect here. When we get to the New Testament, all Christians have the testimony of Jesus, which is Revelation 19:10. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So the entire church is meant to be, it's called to be a prophetic church, who sees the things of God in oversight. It's not a title. It's on the top of the hierarchy. And there's no evidence in Acts that the elders were dominant in a local church like the average pastor or minister today. I'll say more about that later. So in Paul's letters, in his earliest writings, no one is called elder. Leaders seem to have been the head of a household, recognised in the culture of the time as having care or oversight of new house churches. Yeah? Now, part of our problem is that we try and abstract ourselves from the dynamic spiritual and cultural environment of the century. We never understand the New Testament. So in 1 Thessalonians 5:12, Paul says, talks about those who labour among you and are over you in the Lord and who admonish you. That's what they do. They admonish you, they teach you, and they labour for you. And that's their function. And they're often really patrons of the local church. Someone who invited other people who became Christian into their house and showed hospitality. Now, if someone is unwilling to show hospitality, you know they are not an elder. That's categorically true. They must have a grace upon their life to show hospitality, because that's one way of which people are loved by God. In 1 Corinthians 16:15, the apostle talks about respecting those who are heads of certain households. Now, the first language of eldership appears in Philippians chapter 1, which is significant because we're now in the 60s, AD 60 plus. This is what Philippians 1:1 says. Paul and Timothy, servants of Jesus Christ, because that's the first way in which apostles saw themselves, not as high and mighty men or women, but as servants of Jesus Christ. All the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi, who with the overseers of elders and deacons. These overseers seem to be hosts of home churches, and the deacons were those who assisted the elders in the care of church members. It's all very vital, but because of distortions in church history over the centuries, it's not so common today. Given that this church, the one in Philippi, had been in existence for more than 10 years by the time Paul wrote, we may assume that the number of people meeting in the house had increased with the need for division of labour. So elders were doing things, deacons were doing things, everyone was being cared for by the Lord. But as we move on in the New Testament, Paul starts to speak to people who know his days, that's Paul's days, are numbered. We're talking now of a time in the later part of the New Testament where the death of the apostle is coming soon. So with the death of the apostle, there's a great danger of division, factionalism, wrong teaching, heresy. So Paul will make provision for the church, and it's good. So then we get to what we call the pastoral epistles. That's 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus. Now, a lot of teaching on elders starts there. Now, I'll try to say, I don't think that's the place to start. I actually think the place to start in understanding elders is in the book of Revelation. I've done that. And then you go through the New Testament until finally you get to 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus, which are the end of Paul's ministry and writings. So the spiritual dynamic is now at its most intense. There's a focus on the practical implication of the gospel, because there will be a time soon when there are no apostles around. Someone whom God has worked forgiven sins. That's how it works. So, all these people that talk to me about their sins, I'm not actually interested in their sins. I'm interested in them walking in the finished work of Christ as forgiven sinners. Now, that's no small thing. It's a huge thing. And it's actually the foundation of the church. What about pastors? Well, I'll tell you a few things. The word for pastor is very rare in the New Testament. It appears as a noun, like pastor, once in Ephesians 4:11. That's the only place in that list, pastor. Then there's a verb to act as a shepherd. It appears twice. So it seems from the whole of the New Testament that the teaching role of pastors is identical to that of elders. They're not two groups, it's one group. And sometimes they can very occasionally call pastors, but usually call elders. I think that's a clear biblical position. And some people understand that. And pastor was never intended to drive me mad. Even yesterday, I was on a Zoom call with some people. And people started to pay a few contributions. And one of the guys there who goes to a hierarchical church referred to me as Pastor John. Well, it wasn't a place to tell him he's wrong, but they love hierarchy, some of these people. I'm not Pastor John, I'm his brother. Right? And if I need to tell him something, I will tell him that. And it's not because I'm a pastor, but I'm another office. Anyway, people love hierarchies. So it's Pastor this, Pastor that, and Pentecostals are the worst. They're most to be, they're meant to be the most spirit-filled and free. They're the worst. And someone said a few years ago that the Assemblies of God had become the most clerical church in North America. According to James Bible. So, pastor is not a title. It describes what the person does. He or she is a shepherd who cares for people. So instead of this being some heavy, frightening title, it describes someone who loves you. It's not complicated, is it? Simple. It's always simple. Look at the life of Jesus. People were attracted to him. And the most broken people always wanted to get close to him because he was a purveyor of blessing and not cursing. Never be frightened of elders. I'm not frightened of elders. So I should be. Just fear the Lord at the beginning of wisdom, you know, knowledge of God, knowledge of himself. So, an elder, I've got a friend, he comes from Argentina, and we were talking with him one day about different places he'd been a minister, or a teacher, or a pastor, or an elder, whatever you want to call it, in Argentina, and he referred to one place, and he said, I want to die with these people. I thought that was very profound. That's the spirit of a genuine elder. Someone who's so bound in Christ to the people. They want to die with those people. So we're certainly not talking about celebrity status. You know, celebrity pastors, the people who get on TV and stuff. It's a mess. No celebrities in the church. But corporate identity in a mutuality of love. Now, see how these Christians love one another. Early church father, the second century Tertullian, he said, that's what they're saying about us outside the church. See how these Christians love one another. Now, John 13, 34 and 35, the new commandment that Jesus gave, simple. Now, who appoints elders? This is a complicated matter. Independent, that was independent, probably, but that's not true. A small